is Will Houck with KNBC, and I'm talking with filmmaker Brandon Vetter. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So your most recent film is called Strange Negotiations, and it chronicles the spiritual journey of singer-songwriter Dave Bazan. Can you tell us why you made the film and where the idea came from?
Yeah, you know, it from the very beginning, it kind of felt like a thing I was uniquely qualified to make. I started my career touring with bands and, you know, making live concert films. And then, you know, kind of moved into more like social issue documentaries. And yeah, just the kind of more expected format of documentaries. But the, you know, this kind of like faith as told through music has always been kind of like this really, like, I just don't see another tradition that it's more kind of like fully realized or talked about than in music. And faith's always been something that, you know, is kind of at the center of my interest creatively. Like, there's, you know, it's just this wholly unique human thing that can, you know, be the worst thing that could ever happen to humans, but can also be the best thing that ever happened to humans. You know, and wielded in that way, it's this kind of superpower. And so, yeah, you know, when I kind of grew up listening to Dave's music, and then lost track of him kind of around the time most people did. And then I was actually finishing up my last film, In Pursuit of Silence, and I was on a long drive and just happened to download some random podcasts, and I downloaded one with this comedian, Pete Holmes, interviewing Dave. And the way that Dave kind of explained his journey and just kind of, yeah, there was a candor and there was like a reverence, but in a reverent way that he kind of spoke about this journey and where it's kind of left him. I just never heard anyone talk about it like that before. You know, and it's not surprising looking back just because of the way that he's been able to communicate this stuff on his records. The guy's just is an incredibly gifted communicator. And I didn't realize that was the case also just, you know, in conversation. And so anyway, that kind of stirred me. That listening to that conversation really stirred me and stuck in my head. And when I got back from the trip I was on, I ended up kind of nerding out and going and downloading and printing all of the lyrics, you know, that he had ever released from his very first record to the most recent record at that time, and kind of, you know, with just shabby 8.5 by 11 paper, kind of bound together this book of this, you know, his journey through music, you know, kind of in order. And, you know, because I really wanted to see if it had legs in terms of a narrative and kind of like what the structure of it would be. And I wanted to look at it in kind of a, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour kind of time frame as well. Already thinking about this could be the next film. And, you know, when I sat down with that, you know, I was completely blown away, as evidenced by, you know, me spending the last 4 years making this film as kind of an uphill battle the whole time. But, you know, reading through that, you got this incredibly, like, blistering front row seat at what it looks like for a human to lose their worldview, you know, for in real time, because he's writing these songs in real time. You're kind of watching, you know, one of the biggest and most dramatic changes that I think the human psyche can go through.
Wait just a minute, you expect me to believe that all this misbehaving grew. and helpless to fight it. We should all be satisfied with this magical explanation for why the living die and why it's hard to be.
And in such, you know, beautiful, you know, in the same way where I was talking about music before, where it's just like music puts enough smoke in the room to really understand things. And so yeah, once I kind of read through that, it was on.
That's cool. So did you before you started this project, you didn't know him personally? Like, you guys hadn't met or hung out much?
Nope, not at all. Yeah. Gotcha. And so I, through some friends, kind of reached out to him and his manager, went to one of the house shows in LA when we were living down there, and, you know, kind of also realized that this house show thing was going to be the setting for the film, you know, that it also, his journey was so interesting, but his current kind of setting as, you know, a mainly living room performer, right, was super interesting as well. And so, yeah, we had coffee after that, and then, you know, just kind of slowly, they slowly became down with the idea.
Right. So we were talking earlier, as a few minutes ago, about our connection with evangelical Christianity. But I'd love to hear about a little bit of your history. Did you grow up like going to church? Did you like go to a youth group in high school? What was your connection to that whole world?
Yeah, I came to it kind of late. You know, we moved around as kids a bunch, and kind of had a pretty tumultuous upbringing. So it wasn't until we kind of landed in this small town in Northern California for high school where, you know, where it really kind of the youth group thing kind of started. Uh-huh. And yeah, that was, I was fascinated by the whole thing immediately. And yeah, met my wife through it. But you know, it's been this interesting journey because I'm not kind of a product of evangelicalism. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to kind of cherry pick, what made sense to me and culturally what I was interested in. Like, I wasn't really brought up, with all these, you know, kind of accepted ideals and, you know, just cultural touch points where it's like, I've learned so much about evangelical culture and evangelical art. And you know, through the process of this film, and actually, you know, like I went kind of crazy research wise, way more than is even in the film. But just for my own kind of understanding of this culture, you know, I probably ended up reading 15 to 20 books, just kind of tracing the roots of evangelicalism in America, right, and trying to understand how we got here, you know, going all the way from kind of the, you know, this apocalyptic nature of religion in the New World, and, you know, following it through all these kind of like political, you know, handholdings, and yeah, just understanding like how we got to this point has been so helpful. And yeah, like it made me understand, you know, the election of Donald Trump plays a role in the film, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that it was, you know, 81% of white evangelicals that were a massive part of putting him into office. Right. And that made zero sense to me until I started kind of backtracking all this stuff. And it ended up making perfect sense after, you know, this mini dive into, you know, the roots of evangelical culture.
Right. Yeah, it's a fascinating part of the American political history that I think gets kind of underreported. I think the election of Donald Trump took a lot of people by surprise, and that Christian support for him. And but yeah, I think you're right. When you look at it, it makes a lot of sense. You know, if you just look into it a little bit.
Yeah, and I think underreported is the is a really good way to say that, because you know the more that I kind of looked at it and played it out and started to understand, you know, when things were happening and these kind of like coalitions that started to come together with the best intentions, you know, it's all there. It's all laid out. There's been very few kind of like helpful pieces of media that kind of connects all the dots in a way where it's just like, okay. But yeah, I don't know. I've thought about doing something like that, you know, maybe not as my next project, but I'd be so interested to kind of like connect those dots in a really easy, helpful way. Because, you know, there's one of the hardest things with evangelical culture right now is just kind of this whole hog acceptance of, you know, this version of Christianity, where when you enter into it, you're accepting kind of the foundational 80%, you know, without really having access to go back and deconstruct that stuff. And so I think that's why, you know, we hear the word deconstruct being thrown around a lot right now, is because there is this kind of this process of going back now, I think, especially in our generation. So yeah, it's been so interesting to see that, and to see that, you know, people reacting to the film in that way and finding kinship in the film in that way.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of people our age who are part of evangelical Christianity, there was a political undertone to it that didn't always get talked about, but it was there, and sort of this anti-abortion thing that was always kind of hanging out there. And there's the sense of it, you can't compromise on who you vote for. You always have to vote for the most godly candidate. Was just always kind of like, at least that was what I heard quite a bit. And then for me, as now as a former evangelical, when that whole crew went for Trump, who clearly has problems with, you know, behavior that doesn't match up, it was just this, what in the world is that? You know, like, how could you? I was told to not compromise, and then you guys just clearly compromise. What's going on there? You know, it's just weird. I don't know.
Totally. Well, and you know, I think the way that Dave kind of is able to put words to that, I thought was so interesting, where, you know, 3/4 of the way through the film, when he's talking about this and personally reckoning with it, you know, he talks about the fact that, you know, compromising those beliefs and, you know, throwing everything out just for, you know, whatever it is, whether it's the Supreme Court vote or, you know, abortion or whatever, like characterizing that as idolatry, you know, this is capital I idolatry, in the same way that you know, this culture has warned us against since, you know, since we were in, you know, Sunday school.
Right.
And so, you know, and that's just the thing, like, that I think that Dave, he has such a, such a specific way of being able to kind of characterize these things and reprocess these things in a way that, you know, is really important for me in the film, and the way that the film comes off, that it's not this person looking back in and, you know, with kind of no context and saying how dumb everyone is and blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
I really, you know, the priority was that, you know, Dave was going through this journey. We were watching him reckon with his past, him reckon with his people that taught him how to be a human being, a decent person, kind of in real time going against all of that stuff. So, you know, that was really, it's such a fine line to kind of, you know, talk about these big and personal issues. And so, I was so, you know, kind of the only reason it worked and the only reason that we were able to get into that stuff was because Dave was dealing with it personally.
Who are these people blaming their sins on the fall? And who are these people, if I'm honest with myself at all? These are my people. Man, what else can I say? You are my people. We're the same in so many ways. Then your eyes turn green and you broke the machine.
I didn't want him, and nor did he want himself, to be talking kind of out of turn or, in big swaths in ways that he wasn't kind of personally connected,
right.
Which is, you know, I think it's the only way to really talk about this stuff, just because it is so complex and it's so emotional and it's so, you know, built into people's DNA.
Right. He does such a fantastic job of doing that, of walking that line. I think of the song "Wolves at Your Door," where he says, "You're a goddamn fool, but I love you." You know, and I, that's one of the things that I've always loved about him, is that he's cutting in his analysis of and deconstruction of things, but he also brings a lot of heart to the situation, and I think he doesn't want to hurt people in his disagreements, and he I feel like he always does a really good job of couching those two things together, and I think that comes across pretty well in the film.
Thanks. Yeah, it was that was the kind of the dance. It was, you know, trying to make something that was helpful.
Right. So, you know, Dave's known for his interactions with crowds at his shows. I've been to a number of house shows and asked him some questions, and I think people really appreciate his vulnerability there. But I was interested to hear about your impression of his fans as you traveled around the country with him. What sort of things were you picking up from the people at these house shows?
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting thing, because I started the first shoot that we did together was just jumping straight into this house show tour, you know, kind of squarely across the Bible Belt. And so it was just kind of like thrown right into it. And, you know, there's this really beautiful thing, as you know, since you've been to some of these, where, you know, there's a kind of disarming nature about being in someone's home. Like, it changes the rules of the game, kind of, in terms of seeing shows and the potential for interacting. So, you know, I saw people bring so, you know, like, in a hopeful way, ready to talk and ready to, like, you know, they were soft. They were ready. You know, it's kind of like everyone had prepared. There was very few people that just kind of showed up, you know, trying to act cool and just, you know, was like, yeah, whatever. You know, it was like people were just like locked in, ready to have an experience with Dave. And, you know, I think the beautiful thing about that is, you know, most people kind of came in with that, you know, just that preparation. But in terms of what they wanted out of the show, I think spanned such kind of a large gap, in terms of, like, some people wanted to just, you know, like, be talked to about the, you know, the ills of Christianity and, you know, just how terrible it is for the environment and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, and some people were there kind of more interested in, you know, like, seeing the God in Dave still. And, you know, like, it's just, it's such an interesting thing, because, you know, with an artist like this, so many of these people have grown up with him in their ear. You know, it's almost like podcasts now, where people, you know, when you religiously listen to a podcast, you feel like you know these people intimately. And, you know, obviously they've never met you, but you have this incredible context of these people. And so, you know, that was really a factor when it came to Dave and kind of his audience was, you know, not only just kind of hanging out, knowing each other, but, you know, he had been talking them through the hardest transitions of their life in a lot of cases. So there was this kind of like familial attitude to the whole thing where, you know, people were really, really respectful. And, you know, there definitely some people were really angry with Dave, you know, in a way that they were worried for his soul, you know, worried for what he was kind of proselytizing in these shows. But it was, it was a different kind of anger, you know. It was very, like Christian frustration. It was like it's such a massive kind of difference in people and why they came. But at the end of the day, like the way that Dave, you know, creates these environments, like everyone gets to talk, and it's incredibly inclusive. You know, and I never, you know, over the maybe 50, 60 shows I was at or shot, like, never witnessed any bad blood or, you know, any, just kind of negative energy. Like, it really was, Dave's able to kind of turn that around and create a conversation that feels inclusive, regardless of whether someone's trying to call him out for leading people away from Christ or not. Totally ran the gamut. And, you know, it's interesting because, and touring musicians will tell you this as well, like, just different cities have such different kind of cultures, and a lot of times it's pretty palpable. Like, if you're in L.A. versus Toronto versus, you know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And so that was really cool. You know, I grew up on the West Coast, so especially with kind of what's been happening politically, it was so helpful to, you know, really kind of just like dig into, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, and, you know, some of these kind of flyover cities, and see where people's heads were at and see where their faith was at in a way that wasn't kind of characterized by, you know, the kind of racist middle, like, you know, just writing the entire, you know, states off in terms of their beliefs. Right. So, yeah.
Right. Interesting stuff, man. So, do you got any projects coming up in the future? Are you working on any more films, or what do you got coming up here?
Yeah, it's kind of this weird thing, you know. It's been 4 years on this film. I mean, I've been a major part of three feature documentaries like this, and each one of them has kind of taken, you know, the better part of 4 years, which is just like the worst business model ever in terms of sustainability. And so, you know, releasing this film now and, you know, still really putting a lot of energy into making sure that, you know, people are able to stumble across it and people are able to kind of see it and get access to it, outside of just like these real specific niches. But yeah, you know, I have a little more bandwidth now than I have in years in terms of next projects. And yeah, I'm definitely developing a couple of things. The thing I've been working the most on lately is a project about like musical advocacy and activism in 2020. Like, I've been so interested in bands, you know, and MCs and acts, like, you know, in the millennial generation that are making this music. Like, it looks so different than our generation or the generation before. You know, and I'm, you know, in doing research, I'm finding a bunch of bitter old white men, you know, going on record saying it's not happening, and this, you know, this lazy generation just covers you know, past generations protest songs, and there's nothing really happening. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. Like, there's some really exciting stuff going down in some really weird and specific millennial ways. And so, yeah, that's I'm kind of developing this series about, you know, looking at that and kind of really doing deep dives on these young artists in their scenes and communities, and kind of what that looks like. I've been for a couple years, I've been slowly working on this film with a Native American tribe up north, kind of on the Oregon-California border. About they're just this badass tribe named Karuk that are starting to get a lot of their rights back in terms of land management. And, you know, California's so, you know, just upside down when it comes to fire management and forest management. And, you know, it's pretty amazing watching these badasses, like, you know, able to reinstate a lot of their traditional ecological knowledge, and, you know, put fire back on the ground in a healthy way, and, you know, change the relationship with the river. And that's another one that was kind of, that's been kind of like Strange Negotiations, where I don't quite know where it's going, but I'm just faithfully following, because I know, you know, it's one of the things that I'm engaged with that keeps me hopeful.
So if people want to find your work and your films and whatnot online, what's the best place they can look for that?
Yeah, everything, you know, the kind of hub is just brandonvetter.com. And, you know, through there you can kind of figure out how to see everything. The Strange Negotiations is, you know, on iTunes and Amazon and Vimeo and kind of every pay platform right now. And, you know, we're figuring out a streaming version of the film right now and a deal right now. So hopefully that will be kind of more easily available coming up. But yeah, just, you know, on the social networks, my personal accounts is kind of, you know, I talk mostly about the work and, you know, the research I'm doing, and, you know, try to kind of crowdsource a lot of that stuff. So yeah, that's kind of where I exist on the internet.
Awesome. Well, man, it's an amazing film. It's very honest and it feels very genuine, and I really enjoyed watching it. So thank you for putting that together.
Thanks so much, man. I mean, your kind of support and putting a screen together, you know, that's kind of what I've dreamt about for this film since the beginning, is just, you know, in the same kind of DIY culture as Dave exists in, you know, just getting art out there in a way that people can interact with it and, you know, hopefully be stirred by it. And, you know, you taking the initiative and making that happen and giving people in your area that opportunity is just so exciting for me. And, I'm very appreciative, and yeah, really enjoyed talking.